Roymans Product Management Podcast. One of the big advancements product management has experienced over the past 20 years is the ability to collect and analyze large amounts of user data. And this has helped product managers better understand how users actually use their products, make data-informed decisions, and continuously improve their offerings. AI has taken this to a whole new level, giving us even more powerful capabilities, including customer insight mining and sentiment and trend analysis. We can now use tools that extract actionable information from user data, infer how a user might be feeling about the product, and identify emerging patterns in customer behavior. However, as powerful as it is, AI is not enough. It is virtually impossible to offer a successful product without another form of intelligence, emotional intelligence, or EI for short. It refers to our ability to recognize, understand, and manage our own emotions while also being attuned to the feelings of others. And in this episode, I'll explain what emotional intelligence is, how it helps product managers and product leaders, and how you can develop it. A popular approach to describing emotional intelligence is the framework developed by Daniel Goleman. It divides emotional intelligence into four domains: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. Let's take a closer look at them. Emotional self-awareness means understanding our emotions and how they affect us. That's sometimes easier said than done. It can be tempting to suppress feelings that are not aligned with our self-view. For example, if you regard yourself as kind and rational, you might find it hard to accept that, like all human beings, you experience anger at times. But being mindful of our emotions, what triggers them, and how we deal with them is the basis for increasing our emotional intelligence and becoming emotionally smarter. Self-management refers to the ability to lead ourselves and to constructively deal with difficult emotions like anxiety, aversion, and anger. This allows us to stay calm in stressful situations, for example, during a difficult stakeholder conversation, and respond prudently, rather than acting out our feelings and possibly saying things we'll later regret. Social awareness, the third dimension, includes the ability to empathize with others and to read a group's emotional currents and power relationships. Empathizing means understanding another person's feelings and needs, taking their perspective, and reaching out to them with an open, warm-hearted attitude, whether we like them and agree with their views or not. It's the foundation for building effective, trustful relationships and successfully working with stakeholders and team members, as well as understanding user and customer needs. Relationship management, finally, requires the ability to make and evolve meaningful connections with others. Strong relationships are built on trust. When people trust each other, collaboration becomes easier, and when they trust you, they're more likely to follow your advice. But relationships aren't always harmonious, and people don't always agree. Relationship management therefore also includes the capability of dealing with disagreements and conflicts constructively. Now that we better understand what EI is, let's explore how it can help us as product professionals. There are four benefits I'd like to draw your attention to. The first one is offering better products. At the heart of product management aren't frameworks, technologies, and business models. While these are undoubtedly important, product management is about people, creating real value for users, customers, and our organizations. That's virtually impossible to achieve if we don't develop a deep understanding of the user and customer needs. Without the right insights, we risk throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks, pushing out prototype after prototype or feature after feature, hoping that one of them will finally resonate with people. This approach not only burns time and money, it can leave users frustrated and damage the brand. Increasing our emotional intelligence helps us empathize with users and customers more effectively, better understand their needs, and discover opportunities for innovation. And this in turn helps us increase the likelihood of building a truly successful product. The second benefit EI offers is improved relationships with stakeholders and team members. And that's important because as product managers, we are seldom able to build products entirely on our own. Instead, we rely on the help of others. These include designers, engineers, and stakeholders such as a marketeer, a sales rep, and a customer support team member. But collaboration is difficult if our connections with the individuals are weak. Strengthening our emotional intelligence enables us to relate to team members and stakeholders more effectively. It helps us better understand their motivations, goals, and needs, establish and maintain trustful relationships, foster positive team dynamics, and deal with disagreements and conflicts more constructively. The third benefit of being emotionally smart is stronger leadership. People with high EI are empathic, and empathy is the foundation for effective leadership. It creates psychological safety and builds trust. And as I mentioned before, if people trust you, they're more likely to follow your lead. To put it differently, becoming more sensitive to other people's feelings and needs will increase your ability to guide and align them. Finally, developing emotional intelligence can improve our mental well-being. As product people, we regularly engage in difficult conversations with stakeholders and team members and must navigate conflicting ideas and requests. And this can be challenging, and it can give rise to difficult emotions like anxiety, aversion, and frustration. A heightened emotional intelligence helps us be more self-aware and skillfully deal with difficult feelings rather than being swayed by them. And this increases our mental well-being, and it makes us more stress resilient. Now, you might be wondering if we can't use AI to understand emotions. And to a certain extent, yes, we can. AI has progressed rapidly over the past few years. However, it does not experience feelings, and it can't truly understand human emotions. Instead, it has to infer how a person might be feeling using, for example, sentiment analysis. And that means that customer interactions such as product reviews, support tickets, survey responses, and customer conversations are analyzed to detect the emotional tone and uncover hidden issues. And I'd encourage you to use sentiment analysis whenever applicable, but it cannot replace direct interaction with users and customers. It doesn't offer the same insights you get from watching people use your product and talking to them about their experience. What's more, a thorough understanding of their needs enables you to review the results of a sentiment analysis, derive the right insights, and take the right actions, rather than having to blindly trust the AI. So far, we've discussed what emotional intelligence is and what benefits it can offer to product professionals. Let's now take the last step and look into practical ways to become emotionally smarter. And there are 9 measures that I'd like to share with you now. The first one is to practice mindfulness meditation. And this involves paying attention to what is going on inside ourselves, moment by moment. An important part of mindfulness is reconnecting with our bodies and the sensations they experience, including our emotions. And when practiced correctly, mindfulness meditation helps you become more aware of your feelings. Make sure you simply notice them without judgment, no matter if they are pleasant or unpleasant. Don't ignore or suppress any emotions, and don't cling to them. Experiencing emotions like sadness, anxiety, frustration, anger, and joy is a deeply human experience. Everybody goes through it at times. Once you've become aware of your emotions, explore what triggers them. And that's the second measure I'd like to recommend. And this will help you anticipate situations that are likely to give rise to difficult feelings. For example, you might find that when you are tired, you can become critical of other people's work. Knowing this, you can anticipate and control your reaction by avoiding, for example, harsh speech. The third measure is to take responsibility. When we experience difficult emotions, we sometimes blame them on others. Say that you had a challenging conversation with Bob, the sales rep, which has left you feeling upset and frustrated. It's easy then to think that experiencing these emotions is his fault. But to develop our emotional intelligence, we must take responsibility for our feelings. They arise in us based on what triggers them. Taking responsibility puts us in the driving seat. We decide how we deal with our emotions rather than seeing ourselves as being dependent on the actions of other people. We may feel anger, but this doesn't mean that we have to react with aversion. Instead, we can choose to pause and respond with empathy without sugarcoating or ignoring any issues. Stop reinforcing negative emotions is measure number 4. Sometimes we are caught up in negative thoughts and feelings. For instance, you might be mad at someone. When this happens, remind yourself that it is not going to improve anything. Instead, it negatively affects your mental well-being. Projecting our anger onto another person is like throwing burning coal at someone. You may or may not hit the individual, but you will burn your hands and hurt yourself. Even if anger, fear, or worries seem to have a tight grip on you, they will weaken and eventually go away when you stop feeding them. Therefore, acknowledge them and let them be. Try not to engage and identify with them. The 5th measure I have for you is to simply pause. Practicing self-management is hard when we are always super busy. It's therefore important to give ourselves regular breaks. A great way to pause and reflect is to start writing a journal. This allows you to record how you feel and helps you see how your moods change from day to day and from week to week. And if you find that difficult feelings dominate for an extended period, that's an opportunity to explore the underlying causes and ways to address them. Asking for feedback is measure number 6. Request constructive feedback from close peers or mentors to learn how your behavior impacts others. For example, you might ask them about how you respond to difficult situations, how empathic you are, and how well you handle conflict. It might not always be what you want to hear, but it might well be what you need to hear to increase your emotional intelligence. The next measure is to practice active listening. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply, wrote Steve Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's true, we often listen with a specific goal in mind, with the intention to share our perspective and convince the other person. As a consequence, we might not receive everything that is said, and we miss out on the opportunity to empathize with the other person. Therefore, be present. Keep an open mind and take a real interest in what the other person has to say. The penultimate measure is to navigate conflicts successfully. Now, conflict is often seen as something bad that should not happen, but the truth is that it's perfectly normal. It arises when people with different perspectives, needs, and goals engage, which, of course, is very common in a product setting. Unfortunately, conflicts are often not dealt with constructively. They are either ignored or result in personal attacks. But it doesn't have to be this way. Learning to navigate conflicts skillfully allows you not only to use them as a source of creativity and innovation for your products, it can strengthen your relationship with stakeholders and team members. A powerful framework for constructively addressing conflict is nonviolent communication, as I explain in more detail in the episode How to Leverage Conflict in Product Management, and in my book, How to Lead in Product Management. The links are in the show notes. And last but not least, regularly meet users and customers. I've already mentioned it, but it's worth iterating. As powerful as analytics and AI tools can be, nothing beats meeting real users and customers. Interviewing and observing them will help you empathize with them and better understand their needs, discover new ideas, and spot opportunities to improve your product. You should therefore do everything you can to meet users and customers regularly, at least once every 3 months as a rule of thumb. If that's too difficult, consider asking sales to join them on their customer visits, for example, or consider scheduling an online meeting. While this may not be as effective as meeting someone in person, it is better than not talking to users and customers at all. I hope you found my advice helpful. You can learn more about how to strengthen your emotional intelligence by attending my product leadership workshop and by reading or listening to my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Thanks for your attention.